There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Malou. The Toronto Raptors have lost their third consecutive game, this time dropping by a score of 126-124 against the Sacramento Kings. It is the third time the Raptors have lost three straight this season. They have done so three times already, separate times this year. I don't believe they ever did it last year. If they did, they only did it once. And, you know, there was a bit of a controversy at the end with Kyle Lowry getting tossed out. No one really knows what he said. He says he's innocent, you know, the things like that. I'll talk about it later on. The Raptors made a bit of a comeback. They made it close, but no. Raptors were down double digits for the majority of the game at home. Well, home, quote unquote, to the Sacramento Kings. And that's just unacceptable. And it's unacceptable because they played no defense. And, you know, sometimes it's that simple. It's that simple. I'm probably going to talk for like 20 minutes at least on this podcast. But you could really just get the whole gist of it in that the Raptors just didn't guard tonight. And it's the second time this week that the Raptors didn't guard. I thought they gave a great effort against Milwaukee. Milwaukee's a really good team. They scored. That's okay. You can live with that. Go back and listen to that podcast. I wasn't mad. That was cool. You know, that's what it is. You know, the Raptors aren't better than the Bucks this season. That's fine. They got beat. It's fine. But this game reminded me of the first game of the week, which was the Indiana game, where the Raptors followed up one of their best defensive performances of the season was one of the worst. And, you know, a lot of parallels. You got 70 points given up at halftime to the Sabonis-less Pacers. And today, you have 68 points given up to the Sacramento Kings. And yeah, you know what, Sacramento, honestly, they got some nice offensive talent. They got, honestly, a lot of guys who can put some, you know, points up. You know, they got some real talented players. Young players, obviously bad every year. They're picking the lottery. They got good players. Fox, you know, they traded for Hield, using Boogie, who was a lottery pick. You know, they got Halliburton. You know, Harrison Barnes used to be a lottery pick. Whatever, right? They honestly have some talent, but the Raptors giving up 68 points at halftime. And, yeah, you know, and you might expect, you know what, listen, third quarter, a good team comes out, third quarter on their home court, boom, they lock in defensively, they get back into the game, they do some stuff. None of that applied. None of that applies to the Raptors. Guess what? Raptors aren't a good team. Why would you think that would happen to the Raptors? They're not a good team. And in the third quarter, the Raptors give up, again, 36 more points to Sacramento. The rotations are a mess. Obviously, you know, there was no OG Anunoby who's missing a second straight game. Norm was out tonight. It was a late scratch. Apparently, he had a quad thing. Okay, hopefully he's okay. But yeah, just bad. just bad all around. And yeah, I mean, you get to... you arrive in the fourth quarter, and by that point, the Raptors had already given up 104 points. I mean, damn. Through three quarters? Really? 104 points. Okay, yeah. And, you know, defensively, the Raptors, at that point, they, you know, they locked in defensively. They locked down on the Kings of Sacramento, okay? We're not talking about freaking princes or knights or jesters or anything like that. No, we're talking about the Kings, not the civilians of Sacramento, the absolute Kings, okay? And the Raptors held them to 22 points, so maybe they can celebrate that. Maybe they can just celebrate the fact that they have only 22 points in the fourth quarter, but it was an embarrassment defensively, an absolute embarrassment. And you know what? I write a 10 things column after every game. I've done so for many years, and I try to, you know, write takeaways, you know, cover on, you know, how players did, you know, themes, things like that. Maybe some extended points and stuff like that. Today, I really want to just scrap that whole format, or not necessarily the 10 things format, but just write 10 things on 10 specific breakdowns that the Raptors made defensively, because that was the story of the game. If I was going to tell the story of this game, I would tell the story about the breakdowns. I don't care about the offensive mix. Fred had a nice little up and under move for a layup. That was cool. You know, Pascal got to the rim, stuff like that. Kyle, you know, did some Kyle stuff. Okay, magically got to 17 points. It felt like he missed every shot, but okay. You know, guy scored. Okay, Watanabe, Yuta, my guy, he scored. Okay, cool. But really, the story of this game is Raptors couldn't guard. They couldn't guard. They didn't guard. They refused to guard. And they were just poor at guarding. And so I'm just going to read out some of the notes that I have that I ultimately scrapped this idea, but I really wanted to go with it, okay? Because this is just a small selection of mistakes that the Raptors made. And pretty much all of them came in the third quarter alone. So, and by the way, the Raptors gave it 36 points in that quarter. So let me just run through them, okay? Terrence Davis guarding De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox gives him a weak little up fake. Terrence Davis leaves his feet and Fox is gone. Why are you biting on a pump fake? He was in perfect position. He jumps. Fox is gone. Bad defense, right? Then you have Stanley and Kyle Lowry miscommunicating on a switch. And Buddy Hield is wide open. Buddy Hield, the only thing he does well is shoot. Why are you leaving him open? That was just bad defense, right? Then the Raptors not boxing out Hassan Whiteside, which, you know, I get it. You know, the Raptors have small guys. You know, first half they started with Bane. Second half they started with Stanley. You know, Boucher was in against, you know, Whiteside a lot. And you know, literally Whiteside was doing the basketball equivalent of stuffing this man into a locker in terms of how they guarded in the post tonight. And you know, so I get it. You know, there's Whiteside is big. It's hard to box him out. But what I'm talking about is just like not even boxing him out. Not even a guy on him. Like, you know, Whiteside is literally the biggest person in the entire building. There's nobody else in the building but the two teams and some executives. But he's the biggest guy in the building, right? Finding Whiteside should be like finding the CN Tower in freaking downtown Toronto. And still, Whiteside is wide open for box outs, offensive rebounds, putbacks, stuff like that. And then, another play, even more egregious this time, the Raptors have all five guys in the paint, around the painted area. Some people even inside the painted area. A shot goes up, an open shot. The Raptors, you know, luckily the shot missed. And still the Raptors couldn't secure the defensive rebound because Tyrese Haliburton creeps in from the baseline, gets an offensive rebound. That leads to another Whiteside layup. That's another breakdown. You have Utah and Fred, you know, trying to guard Haliburton off a, just off a drive. Off a drive, off a pick and roll. You know, Haliburton with a nice fake, but Utah and Fred both go to the guy on the perimeter. I think, I don't forget who it was. They were guarding it like Steph Curry was open on the perimeter. And Tyrese Haliburton drives in, dunks. You know, the Raptors are giving up dunks while playing zone. Do you understand how hard it is to give up a line drive dunk in a zone? Because the zone is designed to have multiple layers. Multiple layers, all right? There's the perimeter layer of the defense. Then there's guys pinching in from the corners to help. Guys are guarding in general area, but guys are for specifically, especially when the Raptors play zone, try to get guys out of the paint, try to deter drives to the paint, try to force guys to shoot from the perimeter instead. And, of course, they have a guy standing at the basket to cover that, to anchor the zone. And still, the Kings were driving in for line drive dunks against a zone. But, you know, if you thought that was bad, shortly thereafter, Matt Thomas, by the way, the Matt Thomas propaganda is dead, all right? It's dead today because it feels dead to me. I feel like I have personally, along with Alex Wong, on this podcast and other, you know, Yahoo platforms, we have tried our very best to tout the abilities of Matt Thomas. And if you look at the box score today, you might say, well, Matt was okay. He shot once from three. He made it. He got two free throws, got an offensive rebound. What, you know, I mean, it was a minus four in 11 minutes. What, how so bad? No. Watch back these two sequences from Corey Joseph, where Matt Thomas is guarding Corey Joseph. Now listen, Matt Thomas is guarding the worst player on the floor usually, okay? It would be a coaching mistake to put Matt Thomas on a more difficult assignment. So Matt being on Corey Joseph is a reflection of Corey being one of the more inert offensive threats. And it, honestly, you don't need me to say that to you because we've seen Corey. Corey's been with the Raptors for 2 years, right? Famously put the six on his back, literally from Toronto. Well, he's from Ajax, but obviously, you know, part of the GTA region, you know, super loyal to the Team Canada program, super nice dude, great smile, things like that, you know, loved his accent as well. But we've seen him, right? Like, we've seen what Corey Joseph does. Corey Joseph is not a guy who is going to give you tons of points. He's not a guy who is going to break down the defense like Kyrie Irving, go to the basket, finish. Except against Matt Thomas. Back-to-back possessions, Matt Thomas guarding Corey Joseph on the perimeter, giving up wide, open, straight line drives. Like, I'm not even talking about Corey Joseph, like, pulled out the, went, reached deep into his bag and, like, did some Jamal Crawford shit of like, oh man, he put a double behind the back, then like slid this way and had an up fake and stuff like that. And Matt Thomas was playing good defense, but damn, it just, you know, the shot was better. No. Corey Joseph with like a simple left to right crossover, drive into the paint, score a layup, score an and one over Matt Thomas on consecutive possessions. And honestly, that killed the propaganda right there. That killed the propaganda. That's it. That's it. And then, you know, very infuriating mistakes by the Raptors. You know, the Raptors would call timeout because, you know, they're down and they're down bad. They would call timeout. And what happens after the timeout? Stanley Johnson. They're trying to run a play. Stanley Johnson gets a moving screen called on him against Fox. So a turnover off a set play where you call timeout specifically because your offense is stuck. You call timeout to get a set play and you get a turnover. And then when the Kings call timeout, when they're on offense, you know, the Raptors then just give up layups and stuff like that in their own, you know, I don't know. What are you guys doing? Like, what is this? What is this team? You don't even recognize this team when you watch them. And honestly, all they do is frustrate you. That's it. You know, sometimes they give great effort and, you know, sometimes they have great wins, but damn, they're 7-12, man. They're 7-12. And, you know, like I would say, yeah, you know what? You know, sometimes, you know, you play down to your competition. What do you mean? The Kings have a better record than the Raptors. Yeah, why am I even disappointed? The Kings are 8-10. That's a better win percentage than 7-12. Why am I disappointed? The Kings are maybe just better. Honestly. Like, the Kings might be better than the Raptors. Take that in. And I'm not even saying that as a slander to the Kings. Honestly, I like a lot of the Kings players. Fox is nice. Buddy Hield, bit of a chucker, but sometimes he could be good. You know, Bagley really seems like a lost case. I don't know what's going on with him. He might have single-handedly kept the Raptors from this game being a 30-point blowout. Harrison Barnes is very serviceable, as we've seen. Whiteside, honestly, as a bench guy, fine. Halliburton's a nice rookie. He had 11 assists tonight. Honestly, he had some really nice plays. But, god damn. Yeah, the Raptors are just... I don't know what to say. And, of course, Kyle... I mean, you know, you can make excuses. You know, Norm and OG are out. You know, Norm was a late scratch or some sort of quad issue. It seems like it's not too serious, although who knows. OG missed two straight games. I didn't even see the injury. I don't know if anyone did specifically, but hopefully he's okay. The Raptors clearly need him. Because what did they do tonight? And honestly, if you even just look at any aspect of the game tonight, the Raptors were really desperate and just kind of without answers and just a sloppy club overall. You know, like if you look at, let's say look who started, right? So no Norm, no OG. So you're missing one starter. You're missing one guy off the bench. You're six man. So TD comes in and starts, which, you know, honestly, a bit of a surprise. I thought they'd start Stanley Johnson. The Kings are actually decently sized along the front court. You know, you got Bagley at power forward. You got Holmes at center. And then you got Barnes. Barnes is 6'8". So they choose to play Davis. I'm like, yeah, okay, I can kind of see it. Davis kind of did have a nice offensive game against the Kings last time around. Maybe his one good game of the season was against the Kings. So, okay, maybe you try Davis. And then Davis is guarding Barnes. And Barnes immediately... I mean, Barnes led the team in scoring 26 points. He was on all night. And part of the reason, he had Davis on him to start. And Davis is like one of the worst defenders in the rotation. Luckily, Matt Thomas not in the rotation. So technically, Tyrese Davis is the worst defender in the rotation. And yeah, you can say, yeah, TD scored and stuff like that. He gives most of it back. Like, you know, like this guy committed two fouls in his first shift. 6 minutes, two fouls. You know, just Barnes is just kind of schooling him. It's not great. So, okay, fine. You can't play TD because the defense is bad. Okay, then who are you going to, right? So the Raptors go off the bench, go with Boucher, and they go with Stanley. And Boucher just was really, really struggling tonight. Boucher has been really, really quiet since that stretch of five-straight game with 20 straight points. Since then, not so much. Tonight, against Hassan Whiteside, Whiteside just destroyed this man. In that matchup, Boucher looked like last year's Boucher. Four personal fouls in 14 minutes. Honestly, I was calling him Hassan Wiltside, because, like, honestly, this is probably what Wilt was doing against all those accountants back in the 60s and 70s, man. This, you know, Hassan Whiteside was putting up digits against Boucher. And honestly, Boucher just got all muscled and stuff like that, which, you know, yeah, obviously, we know that, all right? That's part of the deal with playing Boucher. But did he get it back on the other end? No. He was missing opportunities, easy opportunities, didn't shoot the three, didn't block shots, didn't really rebound. All right, so Boucher's out. not giving you much, right? Then, you know, some very strange decisions, I thought, in terms of the rotation. Okay, so Matt Thomas gets to the stretch. I understand the Matt Thomas thing. You need some scoring off the bench, especially with TD and, you know, Norm's out. TD's in the starting five. You need some scoring. Matt Thomas comes in, can't really get open. Airballed a shot. Offensively, I'm not even trying to hate on him too much, but defensively, obviously, was terrible. Again, when you make Corey Joseph look like Allen Iverson, there's a real issue. And then Paul Watson got in, but he played 10 total seconds. He came into the game, it seemed like specifically to guard De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox saw him, was like, who are you, and drove right to the basket. And Watson's night was done after 10 seconds. I don't know what the hell that was. All right, so he's done. And then so Nurse eventually settles on Yuta, Bembry, and Stanley as his three guys. And honestly, the three of those guys combining for 23 points is actually a really good night for them offensively. Obviously, those guys aren't really threats to score for the most part. But yeah, I mean, you know, that is what it is. At least those guys came in and played some defense in the fourth quarter. You know, the Nurse basically wanted the approach of, do I have five guys who can play D? And he kind of had a combination of those guys out there, and the Raptors made a bit of a comeback. Cool, man. They cut it close. You know, they had some opportunities at the end. But honestly, just a bad game. And how many times have I honestly already come onto this podcast and said just a bad loss? You know, many times, actually. Many, many, many times. Many times I have said that. And I honestly don't care to anymore. I really don't. Like, it's not that I don't enjoy doing this. It's just that I don't enjoy repeating myself. And I wish there was another narrative to go with for the way the Raptors played tonight. But I don't really think there is one. I think the Raptors are a team that can be good. And sometimes they are good. And sometimes they definitely look like, all right, they're definitely not a 7-12 team. If you look at, like, all right, so, you know, the plus minus or net rating, things like that, you would say, hey, the Raptors should be around 500. You know, there's clearly a team that's underperforming. They'll get back eventually and even stuff like that. They just make the same mistakes, you know? Like, it's that Tame Impala song. Like, they're literally just always making the same mistakes. And, like, you know, you would think, yeah, okay, once in every 10 games, you can have, like, a letdown game as a good team. Like, this is twice in a week. Kyle Lowry gets ejected twice in a week. Like, what is this game? You know, like, it's bad. And, you know, I don't know what identity the Raptors have to hang their hat on. Like, is it defense? Because, you know, what are they defensively this season? Obviously, you might say, well, it's early in the season, something like that. Man, generally speaking, after 20 games, the numbers kind of even out, and you kind of are what the numbers say you are. And, you know, the Raptors defensively this season, they are the 18th ranked defense in the NBA. And yes, they've had some minor injuries. To be honest, the whole league's had to deal with some minor injuries, COVID, things like that. Yeah, I mean, they're 18th in defense. They're average. They're an average defensive club. And they're also an average offensive club. And so, you know, it kind of is what it is. I mean, it's a tough loss. And, you know, at the end there, Kyle Lowry gets ejected. You know, he was, you know, going back and forth with his ref for most of the game, as normal, as Kyle does, right? That's what Kyle does. Kyle is the guy who goes at refs. And yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. He got ejected. It was a 3-point game with 4 seconds left. The Kings were about to shoot another free throw. That could have pushed it to 4. It was an intentional fouling at that point. Raptors had no timeouts. Honestly, Raptors would have been a miracle to even force to force overtime. But yeah, I mean, you know, Kyle gets ejected, and not really sure what he said. Nick Nurse was asked about it afterwards about the second tech on Lowry. Nick said, quote, "She said that he said something that she couldn't let go by. She wouldn't tell me what that was," end quote. And so then, obviously, Kyle was asked about the incident, and Kyle's explanation was that, I definitely didn't think it was warranted. I didn't do anything wrong. I wasn't looking towards the official or anything. She was the only one who heard it. Added, "I do a lot of complaining, But I think I got the short end of the stick on that one. So, you know what? I'm not really sure what happened. You know, it's disappointing that Kyle got ejected, but, you know, obviously that's, it is what it is. I mean, the game was kind of over at that point, although you just don't want to see that from your leader to get ejected twice in the span of a week. I get the first ejection, you know, nothing was going right for him the all game. Today, maybe nothing was going right for the Raptors all game. And Kyle did try his best to make them a comeback, and before a stretch in the fourth quarter, he was taking over a little bit, but yeah, I don't know, man. Just kind of embarrassing all the way around, you know. And in terms of the positives from this game, I thought Pascal played like three quarters of a good game. He had 32 points on, you know, 11 of 20 shooting, 10 of 14 from the free throw line. That's good. But I thought he made a lot of poor reads throughout the course of the game. You know, he got into that, like, every time Pascal takes like six, more than three dribbles, you're like, I know this is going to be a brick. Especially when he shoots the mid-range. But he also did some really good stuff, so I don't really want to ride on Pascal too much tonight, man. He was, obviously, he honestly, when he is insistent on getting to the basket, especially against teams that don't have great rim protection, this guy can feast. And, yeah, I mean, obviously you would like to see him do this against better defenses, but Pascal got whatever he wanted. Every time he was intent on driving to the basket, he was good. You know, I thought Fred was solid in his role, as he always is every night. 26 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 steals for Fred. Got to the free throw line 10 times. You know, Kyle was, you know, up and down a little bit, but for the most part good. And honestly, the biggest positive is probably Utah. You know, Matt Thomas propaganda is replaced by Utah propaganda this year. And honestly, there's not that much to propagandize. Like, I think it's just, everyone knows what you're seeing, right? When he checks into the game, the energy of the game is different. He works harder than pretty much everyone else on the floor, him and Stanley in particular. And, yeah, good things happen when you play hard. And Utah is always contesting for rebounds, you know that. But he's also making good decisions on offense. Today he scored 12 points, which was great. His most impressive basket was late drive. Raptors got a broken possession. And I think my 4-point game, 6-point game, something like that. But late shot clock situation, Utah decides to drive it. And he finishes an impressive lefty layup over Hassan Whiteside. Obviously, Utah is lefty. I think Hassan was expecting the right-handed layup. So I think he probably could have blocked the shot if he was more aware of the situation. Although, you know, attaching awareness to Hassan Whiteside would, you know, honestly would be like giving would be like giving Aaron Baines athleticism. It's, you know, it's hypothetical, but Utah was really good, and he finished the layup, and he played really hard. He played I think the entire fourth quarter. I mean, I think he checked in the midway through the third quarter, just never came out. Honestly, he played a long stretch, and yeah, I mean, he was really good. You know, getting offensive rebounds, even like a hard foul towards Whiteside at the end, which was a play on the ball, and Whiteside took exception to it because he did take a hard fall, and he wasn't expecting it because Watanabe was coming in from the blind side. But Utah apologized. They reviewed the play. Obviously, nothing went wrong there. Whiteside, he missed both free throws, so it was actually a really good play. Utah was good. Honestly, Utah was good. And, you know, I think I'm hoping to see his confidence rise a little bit offensively because I think he does a lot of good things out there. He's pretty much strictly only taking open threes and dunking the ball. And of course, but you know, I think he has a little bit more skill to look for a shot a little bit more often. Like, there's one sequence where he was along the basket, like along the baseline near the basket. Defense probably would have rotated over and helped, but he's also 6'8" and 6'9" even, and fairly athletic. Like, he could have gone up for it. I don't mind him taking a contested layup. And you know, I think there are more opportunities, what I'm trying to say, is where he can assert himself. But I think he's playing really under control, doing a really good job, and then defensively doing everything he possibly can. So Utah got Utah was really good tonight, and you can give some credit. Honestly, Bembry was solid tonight too. Raptors had to lean on him a little bit. I don't know if he was originally in the rotation, but he ended up being in it. Obviously, they needed someone quick to match Fox. You know, and Bembry obviously wasn't shutting down Fox, but I thought did okay. Stanley was okay as well. He had to play a lot of backup center because Boucher was struggling so much. I don't know, man. It's just it's one of those games that honestly, it's you look at the bigger picture rather than you look at the specifics itself, because the Raptors are, what, 7-12? Last time the Raptors were 7-12, it was the right after the Rudy Gay trade. The Raptors made the Rudy Gay trade when the Raptors were 6-12. There was a lot of overlap between Rudy and DeMar on the perimeter. Those guys were taking a lot of shots. Rudy was, honestly had a game where he took like 37 shots against Houston in an overtime loss. God, that game is like etched into my brain. LeBron, I believe they asked LeBron about it when LeBron was in Miami. Well, Rudy taking 37. He said, if I took 37 shots, I'd probably get like 60 points. I think Rudy had like 20. But anyway, so they traded Rudy and the Raptors. It seemed to signal a tank, but the Raptors instead finished that season 42-22 the rest of the way. They won 48 games, which was a franchise record at the time. And, you know, it got themselves a bench, which they needed so much of. And, of course, it gave a lot of the young guys opportunities to score and step into bigger roles. And, you know, Terrence Ross stepped up, JV stepped up. Obviously, DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry were very young at the time, and they stepped up. And, yeah, I don't know what the front office does. I don't think there's that many parallels aside from the record at this point. You could say, okay, there's redundancy in the backcourt with Kyle and Fred, but I don't think that's the issue or why Raptors lose games. It's clearly the other positions haven't really performed quite well. You could say maybe the Raptors need a bench, although honestly, they might need some more consistent starters as well, especially at center. But I don't know, man. The front office got to do something. Like, this roster is just kind of is what it is. They're not very good. And they're, you know, if you want to be bad, just be bad. If you want to be good or even competitive, then you got to make a trade. So that's just where it's at. You know, it's, it sucks. Hopefully the Raptors can turn around next game. In terms of your three stars, first star, you know, I'm giving you to the first star. I don't care, man. 12 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. It's my podcast. and that's, yeah, I mean, he's my guy. Utah's. You honestly played great tonight, and I'm only judging this based on the fourth quarter because that's what was most important in this game, and Utah was very good in the fourth quarter, so he gets the first star. Congratulations, Utah, on your first super first star. Second star, I'll give it to Pascal, I guess, 32 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal. Very curious that he didn't check into the game until like late in the fourth quarter. I think like it was like under the four-minute mark where Pascal finally checked in. And Raptors were playing good defense, so maybe they didn't want to disrupt that, I guess. But you could have brought Pascal in a little bit sooner. I don't know. It's not like Pascal's a bad defender. But anyway, good scoring from Pascal, as you would expect against the Kings. And then third star, you know, Kyle got himself ejected, so I really can't give it to Kyle. So I'll give it to Fred. 26 points, you know, six assists, 4 steals. Got to the free throw line 10 times. You know, hit some threes, miss an open one in the corner that really, really would have put the Raptors within one and really probably could have got the job done tonight, but it is what it is, man. So, yeah, in terms of your Gerald Henderson Award winner, that's got to go to Corey Joseph. 16 points, 4 assists for Corey. You know, tons of love to Corey, man. Super nice guy. You know, always got a fresh cut, although today, you know, maybe during COVID, you know, the standards have slipped. I mean, look at me. I look terrible. So, you know, whatever. But, yeah, Corey, man, he's I really enjoyed his time as a Raptor. I think it, you know, came to an end because Raptors had a lot of good point guards at that time. Fred was coming up. Even DeLon was coming up, you know, so they kind of moved on. But, yeah, Corey's solid dude, man. A Toronto man through and through. And, honestly, as much as it hurt to see him just blow by Matt Thomas like that, you know, I still got a lot of love in my heart for Corey, so. Corey gets the Gerald Henderson Award winner. But yeah, I mean, listen, it's a tough time for the Raptors. We'll see what they have against the Orlando Magic in their next game. I'm gonna say the Raptors win because, you know, the Raptors generally bounce back. But then again, the Raptors have lost 3 straight games, 3 straight times this season. And so that's not necessarily huge evidence of the Raptors' bounce back ability. I don't even know if that's a specific term, basketball term. It's clearly not. But yeah, the Magic have lost 2 in a row. They lost to the Kings as well. Lost to the Clippers. And we'll see what happens against the Raptors on Sunday evening. So check back then. Thanks everyone for listening. Rate, review, subscribe. You know, read 10 things. Actually, one thing I really do want to shout out is make sure you go to the Yahoo Sports Canada YouTube page and watch this video that I have been working on alongside my producer, Amit Mann, who we created this video called How Kyle Lowry Accidentally Became the Greatest Raptor of All Time. And it takes you into the story, not accidentally in the sense that like Kyle just fluked into it. No, I mean like the fluky circumstances and the backstory that really led to Kyle becoming one of the greatest Raptors, or the greatest Raptor of all time. I think it's super interesting. It was always fascinating to me that Kyle was the plan B that offseason at point guard. And the fact that he's now become what he's become is just such a nice serendipitous story. It's definitely more uplifting than this podcast. And I think it's edited really well. So a huge shout out to Amit for the work that he put into this. And I hope everyone goes and checks it out, because honestly, it'll probably make you feel better this weekend. And it'll make you appreciate Kyle a little bit more, which I think we all really, really do here in these parts. So thanks again to everyone for listening, and I'll be back on Sunday.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.